All right, verse 4, would you say, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purpose to overthrow my goings. He's got nefarious motives. He wants to overthrow your experience in God. Verse 7, would you say, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And verse 9, would you say, as for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. The love of God means more to me. Burn them, God! Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. This, of course, is the imprecatory prayer of the Old Testament. We don't pray imprecatory prayers in the New Testament era. We don't pray, God, burn my enemies. But rather, we've turned the spirit world upside down, and we pray for those that hate us and despitefully use us and persecute us. And the Apostle Paul says, when you're kind to them, you're heaping coals of fire on their head. Well, okay. All right. Be seated, clap your hands, give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Like you really love the word of God. Mighty God, we love you. We give you praise, we give you thanks for your word forever settled. We thank you for the power of it, for the awesome glory of your word. Praise God. Praise God. Something that's been going on in my mind and in my spirit for the last several weeks is a study of the spiritual dynamic. And you could couch this in other language, but it's just what's occurred to me. And the spiritual dynamic that I'm speaking of would be that is inserted between the land of the natural and the land of the spirit. Or if you would, the interface between the natural and the spiritual. There is a dividing line. At Eden, God put an angel with a flaming sword. There's some places in the spirit you can't go. Not until we get out of this life and this world. And there lies the frontier or the boundary or the border between things spiritual and things natural. And it's impossible for us to talk about this or even think about it without thinking spatially or geographically. But heaven and earth, or spirit and natural, they're not segmented spatially or geographically. Heaven is not some place off in the cosmos. You blast out 27,000 light years, hang a left at the Burger Doodle, and three rights down, you come to heaven. It's not like that. Jesus is standing in front of Nicodemus, and he said, nobody's ascended into heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. While he was standing in front of Nicodemus, he was a man on the earth, and he was in heaven at the same time. Where are the angels? They're all over the place, but specifically, they're encamped round about them that love the Lord or are in covenant with God. So how many of you believe angels came with you to church tonight and camp out at your house and stand guard over you? That's the promise of the word of God. Those angels are there. But you don't see them. Normally, naturally, I believe there's an angel or two standing around in the house tonight or hovering up. You know, but we don't see them. So the division there, the frontier, the spiritual dynamic is not geographical, spatial. But closer to that, it would be dimensional. The dimension of the spirit, the dimension of the natural. Because God is all over this house tonight. Presence of God, the promise of God, the fullness of God, the power of God is in this house tonight. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. And we don't necessarily appreciate it with our natural senses. And so it's not a citizen. It's not a component of the natural world, but all of this is blended together. And there is, though, a dynamic, there is an interface, there is a separation between things natural and things spiritual. Praise God. But that interface or that separation line between natural things and spiritual things is permeable. There is commerce that goes on between the natural and the spiritual. Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves can break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. And you thought that that was just poetic language, but there's commerce that goes on between here and there. It's possible to build up a memorial of prayer in the presence of God, like stacking stones in front of the throne room of God. There's commerce, there's interchange, there's communication between the natural world and the spirit world. And there's travel. There's traffic between the natural world and the spirit world. Praise God. There's, just to touch or to deal for a moment with some of the qualities of that spiritual dynamic, you can see across it sometimes. Not all the time, not normally, but Ezekiel said, I was sitting among the captives by the river Chebar, and the heavens were open, and I saw the word of God. And if you read the prophets, you know that God revealed himself to them and they had visions and they saw across the divide into the range of the Spirit. John had a tour guide that took him up into the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. Well, praise God. You can see across. God said, I came down. I want to see what's happening down here in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Noah, build an ark because I've seen all I want to see of this world and their wickedness and their vanity. God can see into this natural world. And sometimes humanity gets to see into the world of the Spirit. Praise God. You can speak across that spiritual natural divide, that spiritual dynamic. You can speak across it. The prophets were filled with the word of God, and they speak in the first person for God throughout the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I, and they'll leave their sin and they'll leave their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God can hear from over there what's happening here. And if you'll listen, you can hear from over there what's happening in the realm of God. The prophet saw a whirlwind, but God wasn't in it. He saw a consuming fire, but God wasn't in it. He saw an earthquake that shook the mountains, but God wasn't in it. But then he heard a still, small voice that said, Elijah, what are you doing here? I'm telling you, there is a spiritual dynamic, but there is commerce through that. It's permeable. There's communication through that. There's traffic from one world to the other world. Praise God. You can hear through that thing. Praise God. John's baptizing Jesus and everybody's hanging around and they're wondering what this is because John's identified him. Behold, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, and he's baptizing him, and John sees the Spirit like a dove descending and remaining on him, and then there's a voice from heaven. There's a voice that breaks through that spiritual dynamic from one world to another world and said, wake up, Jerusalem, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Anybody ever heard from God? I mean, God just actually spoke to you in your mind, in your heart. Some of you might have heard an audible voice. But there's traffic, there's commerce, there's communication across that spiritual divide or that spiritual dynamic. And there is cause and effect that ripples from one world to the other world. Revelation chapter 8 and beginning in verse 3. And we use this when we're studying prayer. But this is a great illustration of what we're dealing with tonight. Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, when you pray, angels take your prayer in a golden bucket up into the presence of God. Angelic UPS. Don't you let the devil ever tell you God doesn't hear your prayer. Don't you ever let what you see around you suggest to you that God's not interested in you. We're already past that. Hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. That's already settled. And I know that he hears me when I pray. Well, praise God. And so get it, this angel is moving into the natural and snatching up the spiritual utterance of his people, which you'd use a natural body to utter, and he loads it up. And I don't know if this is just the way God's trying to help us understand it or if this is literally how it works. We won't know till we get there. And the smoke, verse 4, of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And so it's poured. Our prayer is mixed, and so our prayer is like the incense of the Old Testament that clouds up off that incense burner and moves out into the sanctuary and outside the tabernacle and billows through underneath and around the veil and into that holy of holies where God is. And so that incense smoke is a type of prayer, and prayer moves out to where people are, and prayer moves into where God is, and prayer has that unique capacity to bring the two together. And so when you're standing in your place of prayer, you're touching the world for God, and you're touching God for the world, and you're bringing those two worlds together, and you become a dweller of that spiritual dynamic when you're in prayer. You're like Jesus in front of Nicodemus. You got one foot in heaven and one foot in the earth. Now, you can have a carnal prayer meeting, and you can have a dead, dull, dry church service. You can have a dead, dull, dry prayer meeting and just spend the time and just get through it. Or you can step into a place where you're halfway here and halfway there, and you're going to see and hear things from the heavenlies. Whoa! I feel something in this house tonight. My God. And the angel took, verse 5, the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You don't pray and nothing happens. An apostolic Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled child of God does not pray without result. No, let me tell you, when you pray, stuff happens. My God, your prayer is like a sledgehammer against the side of a mountain. Your prayer, you may not feel like it's moving anything, but I'm telling you, it's got the capacity to move heaven and earth. You need to get the devil out of your mind and out of your ear, and you need to begin to say, when I pray, things move. When I pray, things happen. When I pray, I may not see it with my natural eye, but what do you believe? Your natural eye or the Word of God? You may not hear it with your natural ear, but do you believe the Word of God, or do you believe that flap on the side of your head? All of these physical things are evangelists for hell. I can't see it, I can't hear it, I can't feel it, I can't smell it, must not be real. But I know because the Word of God tells me. Praise God. This is a great passage to cite the two-way flow there between heaven or the spirit realm, spiritual dimension and the natural dimension. Across the spiritual dynamic, it is permeable. It supports commerce and communication and traffic and travel. And Satan came right out of the presence of God and touched Job. Traffic and travel. And Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host standing at their entry into the promised land. Traffic and travel and commerce, in communication, through the spiritual dynamic, through that permeable frontier between that place where God and the angels are and the spirits dwell and where we are in this natural tonight. Praise God. By the way, that other world is primary. This one's only secondary. That other world was before, and this one is, but it won't be forever. This natural body's not going to last. This house of wood, it won't last. This world's going to be burned up with a fervent heat and the heavens rolled up like a scroll, but you're going to be surfing out in the midst of the cosmos on the word of God. Yeah, I know there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. Jehoshaphat brought the whole family out, all the people of God. They stood before God and they communicated across the spiritual dynamic. They said, we have an enemy that's bigger than we are. We don't know what to do. We don't have any strength, but our eyes are on you. And that's the kind of prayer God can't resist. God's moved. God moved. Everybody say God moved in one of the prophets. And the prophet, I don't know if he jerked like Sunday night at New Life, but he began to speak and he said, you're not going to have to fight this battle yourself. You go out praising God in the beauty of holiness. And before the day was over, they sent the choir into battle and not the army. And by the time they got there, all the enemy was down and dead. There's commerce and traffic. It's a two-way street across the spiritual dynamic. David's music and his singing drove the demons out of Saul's house. Daniel's prayer caused God to open up revelation to him that none of the wise men of Babylon could have insight into. But when Daniel prayed, God heard and God gave him revelation knowledge of the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed of and had seen. It was the progression of nations down through prophecy. Israel shouted and the walls of Jericho came down. It had nothing to do with sound waves. It had nothing to do with the high mezzo-soprano hitting the note and shattering the fine crystal goblet. That's not what happened on that day. But they, by their shout in obedience to the word of God, they moved through the spiritual dynamic and they became something that they were not. They became a voice that knocked down a wall that chariot races could be held atop of, and the walls of Jericho came. Do you think this is a fairy tale, or do you really believe that those walls came down? I'm telling you, there is a way, a calling, a device to move through the spiritual dynamic. You don't have to live a natural life. You don't have to live a simple carnal existence, but life in God is life in the spirit, and you ought to be spending more and more and more time making your way through the spiritual dynamic. My God, for an apostolic, it's like stepping in a phone booth and turning into covenant man. You got a need? Hold on a minute. We can touch God. I don't have any strength, but I know somebody that does. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus. And when he said that, something moved, something opened, but in that portal began to open between things spiritual and things natural. My God, there's traffic, there's commerce, there's communication in between those two worlds, and it moves through that spiritual dynamic. He said, what you bind on earth, what you loose on the earth. My God, I want to begin to bind some things. I want to begin to loose some things. I don't want to just live some old, ordinary, common. What do you want? What level do you want to play at? My God. We can have carnal church,
can make our way through the spiritual dynamic.
We can have carnal prayer, or we can make our way through the spiritual dynamic. That's how revival apostolic churches settle down into traditional Pentecostal churches that don't know about worship and don't know about people getting the Holy Ghost and don't know about miracles and don't believe God can restore and don't believe that God can change lives. Praise God. You can only do that so long until you petrify and your portal closes and it won't open anymore. You get locked into that carnal approach to living for God. Shake yourself. Just shake yourself for a minute. No, you're afraid to do that. Samson shook himself and good things happened. Just shake yourself a little bit. You never know what'll get on you. See, you got something down inside of you that's from another world. You got something that God gave you from the other side of the spiritual dynamic. It's down, and when you shake that thing, it starts bubbling up. Woo! I mean, just do that a little bit. Oh, they're just doing that. Yeah, sometimes we just do that, and then it gets on us. Praise God. There's traffic. The voice of God told David, David, don't go into the battle until you hear in the top of the mulberry trees the sound of a going forth. What goes forth in the top of mulberry trees? It's the army of God. The Manahayim, the second host of God, the same host that the little servant of the prophet saw. He was concerned about the Assyrians all around them. And the prophet said, God opened up his eyes and he looked and he saw chariots of fire. It was the double host of God. He said, there are more that are with us than they that are with them. You can see into that other world sometimes. You can hear things from that. David was waiting. Fellas, we're not going. Why not? Why are we not going? We're going to wait till we hear marching in the top of these mulberry trees. Okay, you're the king. A voice from another world. A sound, a vision, an empowering from another world. Moving across the spiritual dynamic. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus stood in the middle of the dynamic and became man and glorified God. And Moses and Elijah stood there with him. One who had gone through the veil of death and the other who had just simply been snatched up in a fiery chariot. I can't explain any of that. I'm just reading from the book tonight. We don't have any natural means by which to explain that. I don't have any natural means by which to understand that. I just like it. I just love it. Ooh, Jesus is just standing there glowing like a light bulb. Moses has been dead. Elijah's been wherever. Now they're all ganged up on the top of the mountain talking about the crucifixion. Traffic through the spiritual dynamic. They were standing on the ground. Peter, James, and John were right there a little ways down the mountain from them. And they saw the whole thing. Something traversed from the realm of the Spirit and stood in their presence on the ground. I've felt the Holy Ghost move through here repeatedly tonight. Anybody just feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Now, in these Psalms that we've read, Psalms 140, 141, 142, and 143, there is in this psalmist's singing or in his writing the evidence that the psalmist knows that prayer traverses the spiritual dynamic. Prayer moves through the spiritual dynamic. I just pity you so much if you think prayer is just time spent obeying some drudgery law. You just, oh my God, I've got to pray or I'll go to hell. But the psalmist knows that there's good stuff on the other side of the spiritual dynamic. And he knows that prayer is the portal that gets me there in the midst of all of that. It's like a portal. Turn to your neighbor and tell him prayer is a portal into another world. Praise God. Tell him it's like a boat. We get in the boat of prayer and we go over to the other side. We go over. Anybody feel like that when you're praying? Come get on the boat. Psalms 107, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You got to get in the vessel that's going into the spiritual dynamic or you won't see the wonders of the Lord. You won't see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wits' ends. It is possible that people don't go into the spiritual dynamic because it freaks them out. It scares them. They feel the presence of God. They don't know how to handle it, or they like orderly church, or they want to be able to explain everything. Listen, this is rule number one. If you're going to walk in faith and in the kingdom of God, you're not going to understand much of it. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. We can't understand it all. All we know is we go by the north star of the word of God, and God lights the way before us. I may not understand it, but I sure like what it's doing in my life. I may not understand it, but I sure like what I see around me. Praise God. Prayer's like getting in a boat. Prayer's like going on a journey. Now, the underlying implications here in Psalms 140 through 143. Psalms 140 in verse 1, he cries for deliverance. The implication is he knows there's deliverance in that spiritual realm. Praise God. Deliverance comes from God. You don't have the power, nor the understanding. You can't make enough money. You can't get enough education. You can't be powerful enough to deliver you from some of the things you're going to become involved with in this world. I need a move of God in my life. And the psalmist, he implies, God, deliver me. He knows that you got to go through the spiritual dynamic to get deliverance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 7 of Psalms 140, he says that God is his covering in battle. Anybody in this house been in a fight? Anybody in here been in spiritual warfare? Have you had the devil come to your house and try to tear you apart or tear your children down or try to take your victory or steal your faith or undermine your Holy Ghost? The psalmist says, God is my covering. I don't know about you, but I like to go into battle with my covering on. I'm not much. I don't have much strength, but when I tie up with the spirit of Birmingham, I like to be totally immersed and covered by the power of God. I want to have on the whole armor of God. I don't even want the devil to be able to see me. When I come, all I want him to be able to see is God coming his way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse number 10 in Psalms 140, he said, God, dump burning coals on my enemy. He knows that vengeance and judgment come from that other world. You don't even have to deal with it. That would relieve you of a lot of stress and a lot of aggravation if you would just settle the issue that vengeance belongs to God, judgment belongs to God. You don't have to deal with it. You just walk away from it and say, take care of it, God. You do it, God. He said he would. Praise God. You forgive them. You pray for them. You bless them. The New Testament experience says that'll heap coals of fire on their head. But he knows that you got to get that by operating through the spiritual dynamic. Psalms 141 in verse 1, he says, Lord, I cry to you. Hear me. Give ear to my voice. Hear me, O God. He's calling to a God that can hear him. Somebody say, God hears me when I pray. Verse 2, let my prayer be set forth as incense. We've already touched that. Prayer, in a biblical sense, is like incense. The incense burner in the Holy of Holies at the veil itself was a type of prayer, and it's powerful. The implication here is that you have the power to billow in out of yourself and from your own geographic location into the presence of God. The portal opens when you pray. 141 and 3, God is my personal help. 141 and 9, God is my preservation. 142 and 5, God is my refuge. 142 and 7, God is my deliverance. 142 and 7, God provides me with righteous fellowship. 143 and 9, God is my deliverance. 143 and 10, God is where I get instruction. He said, teach me, O Lord. 143 and 11, God is my quickening power, or he gives me life. So then the source of my deliverance, my instruction, life itself is across that portal. I cannot live unless I am doing business through the spiritual dynamic. He told Nicodemus, he said, Nick, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Unless you're doing business in the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. You can't do business there. No, you need to get that. You can't do business there. There is no commerce for you if you're not working through the spiritual dynamic. There is no deliverance for you if you don't come through the spiritual dynamic. There is no instruction from God for you unless you're operating through that spiritual dynamic. And it begins with the gospel. Praise God. You okay? Just for information's sake, how many of you have been just feeling a drawing into prayer here recently? God just drawing and pulling to prayer. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Say yes to it. In the middle of the night, early in the morning, on the way, in the car, pray, 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 pray. God does nothing but by prayer and by prophecy. And if God is motivating you to pray, it's because God's about to do something. God's about to do something in your life. God's about to do something in this city. God will let a church languish until he's ready to touch Cornelius, and then he'll stir the church to pray. My God, somebody's feeling it on the other side of town right now. Some drunk in some bar room starting to feel it. Tears running down his face right now. I'm telling you right now in this city, your prayers are stirring somebody. This Monday night prayer meeting, this Tuesday night prayer meeting, God is touching people in this city because you're breaching the spiritual dynamic with prayer and with faith. Praise God. Praise God. Kelly, they tell me you're a travailer. The spiritual genetics must have come down from somewhere. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Have I put you on the spot? Like, why don't you go to school and learn how to pray an acceptable formal prayer?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father.
You know, what's all that? Nobody does that in liturgy or in the established, accepted churches. I mean, nobody. They wouldn't let you do that there. They'd have you out of there. That's right. You'd be gone. We encourage that kind of behavior, actually. You can't weigh that. You can't measure that. You can't really even understand it. But there's always been some of that around true Pentecostal revival. Anywhere you find a praying church, you're going to find an air raid siren going off. Somebody that learns how to pray from the depth of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Crossing the spiritual dynamic. Or opening the spiritual dynamic. I heard a I was coming home from Bible study late the other night, and they were letting out the basement. If you don't know what the basement is, it's a place where young people from all kinds of different churches are going. There's over 3,000 of them there now, and WDJC is doing a live broadcast, and they're interviewing and all afterwards. And there is this wide open atmosphere, and there's everything under the sun happening in that joint. I don't care what they do, but our folks don't need to be there. And I'm going to explain to you why. There are people who penetrate the spiritual dynamic in almost every major religion in the world, because you, at your essence, are spirit. And yeah, I think Ek Ankar probably does exist. And yeah, I believe that, well, because it's all over the Bible. There's familiar spirits, and there's soothsayers, psychics, and there are people who contact things on the other side of the spiritual dynamic, but they don't know what they're contacting. Let me just tell you straight. If you're sitting around a table holding hands, lighting candles, and humming at midnight, and Uncle Henry begins to talk, it ain't Uncle Henry. It's some fallen demonic angel with big old talons and drooling green snot. And he's sitting there, I'm Uncle Henry. And the underlying implication is that God never told you about this, so God's wrong. Or there's something else out there beside the Word of God. Well, there's something else out there, but it's spoken about in the Word of God. False prophets and lying spirits and predatory spirits and spirits of seduction and doctrines of devils. All kind. You can send off and get yourself a mail order Rosicrucian altar. It will come to you. The Rosicrucians are an ancient order. And they'll start you off with your own animal hide altar and show you how to make animal sacrifices. I just confess to you, I even believe in Ouija boards. And the irony of it is before I came to God, I didn't. I was a cynic and I was a realist. And that was a bunch of junk. And it never would move for me because I didn't believe in it. And the devil can't even do anything without faith. You got to believe in this junk. But when I put my hand on it with somebody else, it would always tell me, go to hell. And I just thought it was them. But they asked it. They said, what do you want us to do? And it said, bow down and worship me. And I thought, oh. But after I got the Holy Ghost and after I got into the Word of God and after I began to understand the spiritual dynamic, then I understood that there are predatory spirits on every street corner in this city. They are moving and breathing and walking up and down the streets of every city in this country. And they are predatory and they're taking possession of people's minds and their spirits. They have commandeered pulpits. They have silenced pulpits all over the country. They won't preach about sin anymore. They're trying to make the things of God into natural things. They want everybody to move over away from the spiritual dynamic. Let me suggest something to you. You don't want to experiment or fool with the spiritual dynamic unless you are rooted in the Word of God. Now, let me just tell you what the Holy Ghost has been telling me just in the last couple of weeks. Moses made his way, and the people followed him. He had a rod in his hand that was indicative of the Word of God. And so it was spiritual leadership and the Word of God, and the people came across, and they were delivered out of Egypt, and they were going into liberty, and bondage was left behind them. They broke through the spiritual dynamic, and the water was a type of that. Water is quite often used as a type of the spiritual dynamic. And the water spread. And they walked through. It was like the door of the Spirit opened up for them. They were overshadowed by the column of fire and cloud. And the water split. And Moses led them across. And then when the Egyptians tried, the waters closed on them. Not just anybody can go through the divide of the Spirit to where God is and where God has housed his blessings and his goodness and his power and his redemption. And this world has preached, and they're preaching it tonight, that anybody in any condition can tap into the Spirit. Anybody in any condition can get a Cadillac. Anybody in any condition can get a blessing. Anybody, and I'm telling you, it ain't so. It's never been so, and it's not so tonight. You've got to get yourself connected with the Word of God, and there has to be spiritual authority in your life. The message was, come out of Egypt. The word was, come out. Praise God. And that wanted them to stay, pursued them, but couldn't break through. Praise God. Praise God. I want to have free commerce. Free communication through this spiritual dynamic. When I need God, I need him right now. When I need God, I need him today. When I need to hear, I need to hear right now. When I need the power of God, I need it right now. I don't need to have to warm up or crank up or spend a week or two getting in shape spiritually. I need it right now. I need the Word of God, and I need spiritual authority in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. And the word corresponding there was come out of Egypt. There's always a component of holiness tied in with this. Praise God. Praise God. Joshua crosses Jordan. And the Jordan is a type of the spiritual dynamic. Again, it's water. And the water opens. And they are led by the priesthood with the word of God on their shoulders. This trend is so repetitive in the Word of God that it's inescapable. It's the anointed authority of God and the Word of God. And the spiritual dynamic opens up. Praise God. Folks, we are going to have an outrageous revival in this church. The spiritual dynamic in this city is shifting and changing, and God has opened up. The word has already come. My God, the prophecy's already been spoken. I feel it moving in here right now. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the enemy has to say. The spiritual dynamic is open for this church. It's open for your family. It's open for your witness. It's open for your prayer. It's open for your ministry. I set before you an open door that no man can close. My God, God's talking to you right now. You need to rise up in the calling of God. You need to rise up in God's gift in your life. You need to rise up in the anointing of God in your life. I know it's Wednesday night, and I know it ought to be sleepy and quiet, but we've got to operate in that spiritual dynamic. Somebody just shout about it a little bit. Ah! God!
Mighty God! Mighty God! Mighty God!
Somebody let the Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues with authority. Hear God. Deliver God. Instruct God. Pour forth, oh God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're almost there. Now hear it. The dynamic opens for them to come out of Egypt. The spiritual dynamic of the Word of God will not support you in an attempt to stay in Egypt. The spiritual dynamic opened for them to come into promise. God had called them into promise. You weren't made to live in a wilderness. You weren't designed to wander aimlessly until you die. God has called you to conquer your land. God's called you to take dominion over this place. God's called you to walk in dominion, my God. Hallelujah. Elisha at Jordan, again, the water is the image of the spiritual dynamic. And he has dogged the tracks of Elijah. And when Elijah would try to get him to turn around, Elisha would say, no. As you live and as your soul lives, I won't leave you. Tried to leave him three times. And finally he said, what do you want? He said, I want twice what you got. I want a double portion of what you have. He said, well, if you see me when I leave, if you see me when I go, you can have it. And the whirlwind and the chariot of fire comes, and Elijah makes his way wherever he was going through that spiritual dynamic. But he wasn't in this dimension anymore. And the only thing left of the old man was the mantle, which he had at first struck Elisha with. And it floats down. It comes down from his authority. It comes down from the heavens. It comes down from the repository of the Word of God. And he, by will and by choice, by devotion, by doggedness, he's there. And he takes up the mantle. And then he tries it out. Where is the God of Elijah? And Jordan parts for him. And the spiritual dynamic opens for him. But he, look at what he does. He's in position. He's dogged in his devotion. He will not leave his spiritual. Again, it's the Word of God, which was what the prophet Elijah was. He was the Word of God, and he was Elisha's spiritual leadership. And he dogs his steps, and he will not turn. And I understand the implications of all that I'm telling you here tonight, but it's the Word of God in the house. And so then he has the power of God in his hand. And the spiritual dynamic opens for him. In all three of these occasions, it's the association with the Word of God and spiritual authority in the form of a man that causes that person or those persons to come into redemption for Israel, promise for Israel at Jordan, anointing in ministry. For Elisha, the spiritual dynamic opened for all three of these. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is our high priest. And Jesus opens a spiritual dynamic when he on the cross dies and the veil in the temple is torn from top to bottom. It had been so exclusive, so restrictive, you just couldn't get there. Not in the time of Moses. But now he said, a new day is dawning. And he who is the Word of God, and by the way, he is our high priest, he goes through that temple, and I don't know what he did with a sword or just by his word or just by looking at it, but the veil in the temple went down the middle as if to say, now you can come in. Anybody can come in. Whosoever will can come in. And and the mirror image was, and now the glory of God can get out and can go anywhere people are found worshiping and praising and seeking the face of God. Praise God. He opens that spiritual dynamic, and his name is Joshua too. It's what Jesus is. It's Yeshua, or it's Joshua. God has become our salvation. And in the first instance of the church on the day of Pentecost, 120 cross over. The spiritual dynamic is open for them. Nothing like this has happened before. The prophets have received the Spirit of God, but it never has been open for wholesale outpouring. Now the church is open for business. The veil is torn. The dynamic is open. And 120 come across. And then Peter steps up on the very first day of the church. And Peter preaches Jesus dead, buried, and resurrected. And then he answers the question. And he says, this Jesus that you crucified, he was Lord and Christ. And their hearts are broken. And they open up and they ask, what can we do? And he says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in that moment, Peter, who's following Jesus, the Word and the priest. Now, Peter is the Word and the priest, and he's opening up the spiritual dynamic. He's just like you are when you're on the job, and you are when you're in your home, and you are when you're at your school or in your neighborhood. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the repository of the Word of God. He hadn't put it in a bank. He didn't hide it in the Louvre. He didn't bury it somewhere in Israel, but he said, I'm going to put my Word on the fleshly tables of their heart. Nothing that God does for you is just for you. Nothing that God does for you is just for you. He put his Word in you. Now you're the Word and you're the priesthood going through the spiritual dynamic for those that are following behind you, who are coming into redemption or coming into promise, or they're coming into ministry. My God. Oh my God. 3,000 of them that first day, Brother Jimmy. Praise God. Praise God. And here we are tonight. We're in the midst of an apostolic revival. We were not a people. We're a disparate group. We were not a people. There was not an apostolic church right here. On this spot, in this place, there wasn't an apostolic. And now there is. How did that happen? Some priest, some word went over and opened up the spiritual divide, and things began to shake, and there was a pulling and a drawing on my heart to come, and there was a pulling and a drawing on your heart to come. And here we've come around the table of God. The spiritual dynamic is open in this place for revival, for anointing, for deliverance, for redemption, for restoration, for anything you need in the kingdom. My God, the spiritual dynamic is open tonight. If you could have eyes in the spirit, you'd see the waters of all of those things that had held them out. The boundaries of victory, the boundaries of revival are opened up for us to go in and for them to come out. God never does it just one way. Tonight there's commerce, there's communication, there's traffic, there's transfer from the dimension of the spirit into the dimension of the natural. Why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, everybody down around the altar tonight. Everybody down around the altar tonight. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, tonight's a great night. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, tonight's a great night. If you want to exercise what God has placed within you and take up the mantle, tonight's a great night. If you want to cross over and come out, cross over and come in, tonight is a good night. My God, go ahead and pray, church. Somebody open up the spiritual dynamic right now. Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. If you never talked in tongues, if you've never received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, you can have it tonight. The spiritual dynamic is open. The gift of God is flowing in this house. He's opened up a door for us. Somebody pray a prayer of destiny. Somebody pray for your brother, your sister. Yeah. Tongues with authority. Somebody to pray for. Pray an anointing on them. Come on. Let a river of living water flow out of your vessel all over them. Thank you. Praise God. Gerald and Linda just got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And Brother Monty Culver's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Stay as long as you like. Celebrate if you got to go. Well, you got to go. We're going to have some Bible study around here Friday night. The children will be coming home from camp. Be a little different Friday night. Brother Jeff, Adrian, you guys have youth Friday night? Do not. Okay. Praise God. There's an usher meeting in the prayer room for ARC planning.
Friday night, we're going to have prayer here for 8 o'clock. If you're interested, we'll be here 8 o'clock, probably next door. So, 8 o'clock prayer, young people. Thank you.